today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, renowned child psychologist and popular author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you will hear the conclusion of a three-part interview featuring John and Jessa Crisp. Over the past 2 days, Jessa has shared her traumatic childhood where she was sexually exploited and trafficked by her own family, but she was able to escape that life and to find safety in Colorado. Now, joining Jessa and John in the studio today are Jessa's adoptive parents, Jody and Linda Dillo. The Dillos will talk with Dr. Dobson about why they have brought Jessa into their family and how they have helped her process the trauma and grief of her young adult life. Well, there is a lot of content to get to, so here now is the final installment of this program that we've titled A Story of Redemption on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, I hope that our listeners today heard what's happened in the previous two programs, because I think they're among the most moving of any that I've done in 40 years. And maybe that's because my personal experience on the Pornography Commission and my heart for people who are abused sexually, and especially trafficking of children, it moves me more than almost any other subject. And as we concluded the second program last time, Jessa mentioned that she was adopted, and I didn't realize it, but her adoptive parents were in the control room on the other side of the glass. And so we ended that program with those folks coming in the door to join us here in the studio, and they are here now. They are Jody and Linda Dillo, who have played such a key role in Jessa's life by not adopting her legally, but in every other context. She is a member of your family now, isn't she?
Absolutely.
I think that our listeners would like to hear that part of the story, because it is an essential ingredient of what you've been through, isn't it, Jessa?
Yes.
All right. Sit right there. Jody Dillo, that's your adopted father.
Correct.
And Linda Dillo, who's been on our program a number of times, both here and at Focus on the Family. And we're going to start with you, Linda. Tell us how you came to be involved in Jessa's life and how you, Jody, the two of you, came to adopt her. I mean, you've made an unbelievable contribution to her life. How did that come about? Linda, I'm starting with you.
Jody and I were on the board of the safe house where Jessa fled. And so we knew Jessa when she was curled up on the stairs and wouldn't even look anyone in the eye because she was so broken. And you're looking at her today, Dr. Dobson, seeing her as a put-together young woman, but Jody and I saw her as a very broken 21-year-old. And yes, we knew what she had been through, and our hearts were broken. And
you feel the Lord pulling you in that direction to do what you could to help?
Yes. God had very directly asked me years previously if I would be available for His most wounded women. And there had been many that had come through our home on a short-term basis, but God brought Jessa on a long-term basis to live with us. And my husband was the one really that suggested
that
she
come live. Were you in favor of Jody?
Oh, very much so. I'd gotten drawn into the issue of wounded women because Linda had them in and out of our home for about 15 years, and she was spending 15 or 20 hours a week with various women. So my heart had gotten drawn into this whole problem of trafficking and woundedness. And remember the first time I saw Jessa, Linda alluded to this, I came down the stairs of the safe house and she was down at the bottom of the well, just kind of curled with her fist to her chest. A man, danger. And it just kind of broke my heart. And so anyway, I can't remember the exact sequence, but she needed a place to live. The place that she was in closed down because they had to move out of the neighborhood. So I said, honey, look, let's just take Jessa in. We've already got a connection with her. And she needed a dad.
Yeah.
And I was one of the first men that she had met that she could trust. So...
No, I would say you were the first man that she ever trusted. Mm. And it was so exciting for me to watch.
As, did she begin to blossom?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And Jody would take her out for dates. And
it was exciting. I had someone that was just really excited about the scriptures and about the Lord and ministered to me. You know, so we'd go out on dates and talk about the Lord and the Bible and what she's studying in her classes and whatnot. And it was just a rich, endearing experience for me as well.
But she lived in our basement and had one room for her bedroom and the other room for her study room. And this young woman who had never been to school, I remember walking in her study room and she had pages taped up all around the room for her study. For her to go around and memorize. I mean, it was amazing.
Here's the thing. She goes to school the first day and she's sobbing in tears because she's never been to school and she's stupid. That's what her parents told her. And how is she going to be able to do this? And she got in there and then she got an A in her first test and graduated summa.
This is a miraculous story.
She was so dedicated. I mean... She did not let the grass grow under her feet, as they say. She was after it from the day we met her. And she's looking for a PhD, and so is her husband, John. They're both looking for PhDs and going to enter PhD programs the next year or two.
Yep, she's working on her master's now. And
would you call it a miracle?
It
you
is
know,
a miracle.
Anybody that tells me that miracles don't happen today, I say, well, I have one in front of me all the time, so come over and see it.
How many abused women have you dealt with?
Quite a few, Dr. Dobson. And I've seen other miracles, but Jessa is
a
true
miracle.
She's
one of a kind, didn't she?
She is. And God is truly... at work in her. And
was she a sponge for love when she came to live with you?
Yeah. But she was a sponge for the Lord, too. And she just wanted to know about him.
Did you play a role in introducing her to Christ?
No, she knew Christ. But she just wanted to know more about him and how to trust him and how to walk in him, walk with him.
Well, when you came through the door, I moved John and Jessa over to the other side of the studio here. We have a large studio. And she's sitting over there crying because of what you did in her life. Jessa, I want to hear your side of this story now because it is really important to understanding where you are today and the wholeness that we hear in your voice and from your passion. Tell us about Jody and Linda, and what did they mean to you, and what contribution did they make in those transition days?
Yeah, so they, early on, were called my Auntie Linda and Uncle Jody, and yes, I was in a state of great trauma when I first met them, and I...
Do you remember being on the stairs, curled up?
You know, a lot of things have happened over the past years, and I don't remember every single incident just because a lot's taken place.
In fact, that's characteristic of abuse. Mm-hmm. Your mind protects you from it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, completely. But I do remember other instances where, like, Auntie Linda at the time, or Mom now, would take me to the doctor and would be part of that, part of my healing journey, because my brain, my emotions had to heal, but also my body had to heal. And so she was a part of that, and going out and going to Panera with Dad and studying the scriptures. And I was in Bible classes at the time and learning.
What was it like to have a father figure who was safe, loved you, would not touch you, would not abuse you? Mm-hmm. What was that like? Did you bask in that safety?
At first, I was really scared, and trauma does that to a person. And I can say that it was a journey of me learning to trust. Uncle Jody at the time and my dad now, and it was a journey, it was a process. But as I learned more about his character and the ways that he treated my mom and saw that and saw the ways that that took place, it really changed my eyes. And then seeing the ways that he treated me with such love and kindness, but also too in a very safe manner and never went past my boundaries, but also just really taught me what a man should be treating a child like. So that was a huge part of that journey. I remember one day in particular, I was living with them at this point, and I actually had a small car accident. It was just a small fender bender, and I was crying and did not know what to do. And I called him up and I'm like, "Dad, I don't know what to do." And he came over and he was, just gave me a hug, and he's like, "It's gonna be okay." And just, I thought he was going to respond with extreme anger and like you now you don't have a car, and like, what are you going to do about that? But he responded in a completely opposite sense. And that really was another just part of the picture of me learning to trust and seeing him as a person who loved me and cared about me in a very pure way.
Well, I want to know more about that man and his passion for a broken little puppy. Don't mean that disrespectfully. Jody, you are a missionary, right?
Yes. Linda and I have been missionaries all of our lives. And we worked, I was with Campus Crusade for Christ. We both were for about 8 years. And then we taught marriage and family life seminars around the country for a number of years. Then I went and got my doctorate in systematic theology at Dallas, went on the faculty at Trinity Seminary, but God had laid on our hearts missions, so we moved to Vienna to launch a covert extension biblical training ministry behind the Iron Curtain. And so that's my background.
Now let's go back to the relationship between John and Jessa. Did you come on the scene before their relationship developed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did you support it?
Oh, yes. But I was scared. I didn't want Jessa to get hurt. And I remember being on my knees when she went to tell him about her background. And I was just praying for him to be gentle and to be understanding. And because she had been asked by her college to share some of her story at a big event, and John knew nothing about her story, and so she told him. And I remember she came back and I said, "What did he say?" And she looked at me and she said, "Mom, he said, I think you're the bravest woman I've ever met."
Really?
And I just said, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you."
The Lord was in that conversation, wasn't
he? Was.
He?
Very much.
But
yeah,
that's the kind of man John is.
Well, John, it's time to hear from you. Let's go back to that moment. We touched on it before, but were you turned off by what you'd heard? Did you see her as a broken vessel? How did you approach her?
You know, one of the things that that I've learned is that, you know, I've had my own past and my own brokenness that I've journeyed through. And as Jessa was bearing her heart to me, I just felt like it was the time to communicate love and grace and in light of the brokenness that I experienced. And so that really gave me a perspective.
What did you say to her?
Yeah, I told her that she is not defined by her past, and that she's a beautiful creation, and that and that she's a brave woman, a very brave woman. In fact, as she went to speak at the conference, I gave her a mug, a travel mug that had courage engraved on the side of it, and Jeremiah 1:17-19. And it just communicated what I felt like her testimony was, this one of hope and courage, that God is our healer and our redeemer.
How soon did you all marry?
So we got engaged 6 months after we started dating, and we were engaged for 9 months before we were married on June 6th of 2015.
Yeah.
Did you go into marriage with apprehension, Jessa?
You know, I did, and I had a lot of questions. I also went into marriage very broken, because about 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks before we got married, I actually found out that I had a tumor that required surgery. So we had that surgery, and so I walked into marriage with question marks and not really knowing what was going to happen, and I think that was for both of us.
Well, you have been through it, Jessa.
But you know what? In the midst of that, though, God has been so precious. And even in the midst of the hard stuff, because the hard stuff continued after marriage.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I went into marriage with apprehensions. And those apprehensions, it wasn't just because of my past or my history. It was also things that a lot of normal people struggle with and walk through.
Yeah.
And it's just part of our story and part of what God has done in our life and marriage.
Linda, did you have long talks with Jessa about where she'd been and about where she is going? Did you help her adjust? Was that part of your role?
You know, Jessa was interested in learning God's perspective about marriage and God's perspective about sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to study that as a single young woman and study it after she got married. And she just said, I want to be prepared. I want God to change all of the tapes I have in my mind. And so she was studying it. She has a very special mentor, Dr. Julie Slattery.
Oh, and she's a great friend, and we've worked together.
I know you did. And so both Julie and I prodded Jessa and said, just learn all you can before you get married. And she did. And she's continued to learn after she's gotten married. But you know, Jessa just always wants to learn, and she's not afraid to ask the hard questions and to just tackle things and take them on. And that's been an example to me.
Mm-hmm. Jody, being in the clergy, being a missionary, you know that when people go through hard times like this, they often get angry at God. And that, I mean, who is God that he didn't rescue me? There I was, a little child. I had nobody, and it continued. And yet she has not fallen into that trap, because if a person who's been through this needs anything, it's knowing that Jesus Christ cares, and he has brought her through the fire. Have you found that people often lose their faith at a time like this?
Yeah. In fact, I'm meeting with various individuals right now that have pretty much lost faith simply because of trials and difficulties in their lives. It's a very common thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that I struggled with most of my Christian life, the problem of evil. So I can really empathetically identify it. I found answers that were mostly satisfying for me. But, it's a big issue.
Well, that's why I wrote the book, When God Doesn't Make Sense.
Right.
Because
book.
I observed that.
Yeah.
So many people hit the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hit what I called the betrayal barrier, and they feel like God has really turned his back on them. And Satan uses that. He uses the pain of an experience like that to separate them from the Lord at a time when they desperately need him. And I hope that's one of the takeaway values from this conversation, these 3 days, to say to others who are out there, maybe you thought you went through something difficult. I don't know if it would compare to what Jessa has gone through, but it's probably pretty awful, because life is tough. Life is hard.
Yeah.
And it involves separation and death and disease and mm-hmm. sickness and disappointment and all of that. It just does.
Yeah.
But if you let him, the Lord will bring you through that and make you stronger.
Yeah.
Or you can turn your back on him and say, I can't trust him. The only trouble with that is there is no other answer.
No other place to go. That's what Peter said. Where else should we go? You have the words of eternal life. And for me, kind of an aha moment was something that I knew, but God spoke it to me in a different way. The fact that God himself entered into this horror in the person of Christ and went through the things and worse than we go through. And it must have been important, it must have been necessary that suffering be allowed, or God would not have arranged things so that he himself, in the person of his son, would come into this horror and go through it. Mm-hmm. And the message of the book of Hebrews helped me a lot because it talks about how because he went through that, we have a sympathetic priest in heaven. Mm-hmm. So that when I'm struggling, when I'm in my unbelief, he's not up in heaven pointing his finger saying, now, Jody, you really blew it. But instead, we have a Savior who's been here. And he's saying, Jody, I know what you're going through. I've been there, and I'm sympathetic, and I'm praying for you.
Oh, boy.
Well, and that stuff helped me a
powerful.
Lot. It was an emotional answer to the problem of evil.
Jessa, did you ever experience that?
I did. And the ways that God has met me in the midst of that is when I was going through my healing journey, I went through different times where on my knees I saw God crying for the pain that I went through. So when I was angry at God, I knew that he could handle that because he showed me so tangibly how he had been so hurt by the things that I experienced as well.
Did you find comfort in that?
I did, because it wasn't like I had to pretend with God what my emotions were with what I was feeling, but rather he could handle what I was going through and the rawness of what I was going through, and he could experience that. And in his gentle hands, not only could he hold that for me, but that he could carry it until I was able to continue to walk through.
I would think you would have a mission now, which is what you told us about earlier, that you're doing your doctorate in this arena.
I'm working on my master's right now, as a step towards
there,
my doctorate.
And then next.
Yep.
That the Lord would help you, help other people to deal with the unanswered questions.
That's correct.
The whys that hang out there.
Yes. And so one of my prayers is that God would not let my pain go to waste. And so God has called my husband and I to start an organization to help survivors of human trafficking. And so we co-founded an organization called Bridge Hope not too long ago. And
we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's your organization, John. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Bridge Hope.
That's it.
Describe it for us.
So Bridge Hope exists to collaborate resources for survivors of human trafficking through training. So we do a number of trainings throughout the United States, but also internationally. We're also working right now to develop technology that's going to help with collaborating those resources for survivors. And the last thing that we want to do is we looked at Jess's life and we saw what elements were pivotal in creating an environment where she could thrive. Mm-hmm. And so we hope to recreate in some aspect the mentorship opportunities that she had and the resources that were made available that helped her get to a place of thriving. And that's what Bridge Hope is.
Well, we have come to the end of the third program now. We started out with a one-part program that we were planning to do, but we couldn't stop. This is just too relevant to too many people, and your story is so passionately told, Jessa. I just admire you for being able to confront the evil of the past. And now, surprisingly, we had your adopted parents in the control room, and I finally saw them there and invited them in, and you have joined us on this. We're really out of time now. God be with you all as you reach out to a hurting world. And Jessa, I do hope that there will come a time when you can't even remember that horrible past.
Thank you.
But you've forgotten a lot of it already, haven't you?
You know, God has done an amazing amount of healing in my life, and so I praise him.
Thank you all, and stay in touch with us, will you? And Linda, so good to see you again.
It's a privilege to be here.
Any last thing that's on your heart that you want to say?
God is the healer.
Mm-hmm. You've seen him heal a lot of people, not just Jessa.
I have been privileged to see him heal a lot, but Jessa is a miracle.
And Dr. Dello, God be with you.
Thank you, sir. It's a privilege to be here with you. Thanks.
We will talk again.
Well, we pray that these programs over the past 3 days have opened your eyes to the horrors of trafficking, but also that you've been reminded of God's faithful love that can reach anyone. Go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org and find out how you can keep in touch with John and Jessa and support their ministry, Bridge Hope. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then tap onto the broadcast icon. We greatly appreciate your fervent prayers for this ministry and also for Dr. Dobson and his family. We're also grateful for your financial support as well. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.